Today we're going to start part six of the Spiritual Healing Mind and Body series. And, you know, this has gone on for a while, but it's just one of those subjects impossible to do in a short amount of time. It's going to probably end up being 9 weeks, we determined. We're going to finish it up in August. But the good news is, I guarantee you, the vast majority of teachers out there who sell their wares would have turned this into a 30-week teaching. So you guys should be happy it's only 9 weeks, okay? Now, we want to give you the stuff you need to move forward, and then hopefully you'll have the desire to dig a lot deeper for yourself, because trust me, there's a lot more to this than what we're presenting in 9 weeks. We're going to give you approximately 9 hours total, and there's doctors who are born-again believers who have written books that are 800-900 pages. So we can't cover all that. And one of the reasons, and I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you, one of the reasons I wanted to do this teaching from this, I hate calling it a pulpit, from this podium first, is because I've gone through and I've removed a lot of the Christianese out of the teaching. Now what I mean by that is, the three doctors that we primarily have listened to, who are doctors and believers, they do believe in the entire Bible, but they're still in the Sunday church system, so they've got a lot of the scriptures that they don't understand properly. But my hope was, is if we presented you with this 9-week series and then you went and studied it for yourself, you wouldn't get slipped up by any of that. Now, many of you that have been studying this a long time, you didn't need my help to do that. But I just wanted to get you on the right track, and we're trying to, and I've had to eliminate a lot of the scriptures they use because they don't understand what the scriptures really mean, if that makes sense. So as we get going, last week we talked about separation from God, and we're not going to really go into recapping that, but this week it's going to tie into it because that's the first thing that happens. The next thing that happens is we have separation from ourselves and separation from others. But it all starts with the Father, and that's why we have to do things in order. We read last week from Isaiah 59, and I want to read this one verse again to you because it's a critical verse to this entire teaching. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So if our sins have separated us from God, don't you think it's a good idea that we have to be restored to him if we're going to move forward with anything else in our life? And we've talked about that, and there's only one way to move forward, and that's repentance and then turning and being obedient. And that's what this whole teaching series is all about. I mean, you can't sum it up in just a couple little statements, but the reality is it's about obedience. Because I'm going to submit to you as a non-doctor, as someone who knows nothing about the true medical field other than what I've read, I'm going to submit to you this statement. You tell me whether you agree with it or not. God created you perfectly in the womb. When you came out of the womb, there wasn't anything wrong with you unless it was something that was handed down to you through your ancestors. But I believe as believers, that's stuff that we can have completely restored and healed if it was handed down to us. But he knit us together in our mother's womb. His desire for the children and their generations and generations and generations, if they walk with him, the desire is that you will not have any of these diseases. It all comes from sin, from the parents, the grandparents, passed down and then eventually to us. And we're going to talk about this a little bit today. I'm going to warn you, as I have many times through this teaching, some of this may sound like I'm hitting you individually, and that's not the case. If you feel any conviction about this, you owe it to yourself to go check the Word of God out for yourself and examine where are those feelings coming from. Because conviction can never come from a man, only condemnation, and that comes from Satan. And I'm not here to condemn you, I'm here to cause you to think. Amen? I'm not here to make you feel bad about yourself. I'm here to make you dig deep so that you can fix what has been missing in your life. Because we go through life thinking this is the way we're going to be all of our life. Well, this is what I was handed down. This is what I'm stuck with. I was stuck with this gene or that gene. My parents handed this down to me. But I believe as believers, as followers of Yeshua, people who are committed to walking out the life that he laid down for us, we should be able to receive our healing, restoration and walk forward in victory. That's my belief. I think it's founded in the scriptures. You decide for yourself. Developing a healthy self-image has to start with knowing who we are in Messiah. And we talked about this a little bit earlier, I think week two or three. You've got to understand who you are in Messiah. You're never going to develop a healthy self-image based on what the other people around you say, because we live in a world where people tear at each other and people get jealous, so they criticize. They could be your best friend. It could be someone you hold dearly, a family member. And a lot of times they don't mean to do it. I'm not trying to paint them as this evil picture, but Satan comes in, whispers this little ear, well, you were never able to do that, and then they have to tear down what you've done. So if we're going to develop a self-image that's healthy and lines up with the Word of God, we got to stop looking to people, looking to what has happened in our past, and we got to start understanding what does the God of the universe have to say about us. And before the end of August, I'll probably say this again. It's that important. You can never feel good about yourself unless you understand that God already thinks very highly of you. He has a calling on your life, and it's different for each one of you. But He doesn't put a calling on the life of people He has no care for, no love for. Amen? Once you start viewing yourself that way, in God's eyes, then the healing can start. There's a tremendous amount of diseases that have been traced back to self-hatred, low self-esteem in a person's thought life. And today, 50% of all Americans, the deaths in America, happen because of coronary artery disease. And that's just the facts. Heart disease is the number one cause of death in this country, and 50% of the deaths are because of that. Now, it'd be a lot more comfortable if we just said, oh, that's just something we can't help. But we know from the Word of God that we can help this. So we need to look at it a little differently. Because what is atherosclerosis, which is really heart disease? It's basically deposits of plaque made into the inner walls of your arteries. And they're fatty tissues that are put in there. And then if that's left unchecked and it keeps accumulating, you end up with different heart diseases. Sometimes it can just be a heart attack that you live through. Other times it takes your life altogether. Left unchecked, it will almost always take your life. You know, my dad had his first heart attack when he was 65 years old. And he lived through it, but he made changes in his life. Now, he didn't make the spiritual changes he needed, but he made a lot of other changes that helped him get to a much older age in life. He did end up dying from complications from heart surgery, so it never went away. You know, you can pretend like you can delay it a little bit, and the reality is you can. But it will catch up with you. Remember the scripture says your sin will find you out? It's going to come sooner or later. But it doesn't come to you unless there's a reason. Disease without a cause will not land on you. You've got to cling to that. It's one of the scriptures that you need to memorize. Most of these diseases that are called heart disease come from self-hatred, insecurity, self-rejection, low self-esteem, poor self-image. These are things that all come out of just being brought up in a way that you never got to appreciate who you are. You know, we all have had either parents or friends that have gone through this, right? We've talked about this in previous weeks. The reality is, not everybody's gone through the same issues, but we know that it exists. We know people that have gone through this. But at what point in time do we say enough is enough? At what point in time do we say we're adults now? And we're walking with Messiah. We've been given the answers. They're in the book. Now, I'm not saying the second you come to know Messiah, everything's just going to click and be taken care of. No, you got to learn what the covenant entails. What are you entitled to? Why are you entitled to it? Because if it's in the scriptures, and it says, you know, what do we read in Deuteronomy all day long? If, then. If, then. If, then. Learn what you got to do to be fulfilling the if, so that you can claim the thens. How many times have you heard in churches across America, they all want the thens, you know? You have a preacher back shuffle across the stage telling you that we're the head, not the tail, you know. You'll be blessed and you're coming in and going out. But they don't read four verses earlier where it gives you the if. And the if is obedience to God's word. These diseases in America are in epidemic proportion, especially compared to the rest of the world. Now, there's heart disease all over the world, don't get me wrong. But look at America, just go Google it and compare the comparison of the percentage of people that die with heart disease here versus the rest of the world. It's staggering. It's almost like we invented this. But all we are doing is taking the thens to the next level. We've rejected the ifs, and we've increased all of the idolatry, all of the sin, all of the self-hatred. We've increased it to such a level that the diseases have become epidemic in proportions. Most people today know somebody or have known somebody that is so down on themselves that they've actually said they would just prefer to go on home. Now, most of the time, if they're believers, they won't say, I want to die. What do they say? I just want to go home to Jesus. Right? I just want to go home to Jesus. Take me home, Yeshua. Come quickly. I can't bear it anymore. There's a problem there. I'm not saying we don't have compassion for those people, but there's a problem there. And the problem is they have no idea what the Word of God says about them, their life, and how they can live a healthy life and more victorious. Because if that is how you're living, there's one thing that we know that's for certain. How many people here feel like you could learn from somebody that has that death wish over themselves, that really low self-esteem? How many people just couldn't wait to sit at someone's feet that's depressed all the time, that it has, and you just can't wait to sit at their feet and learn and glean from them?
Learn what not to do.
Yeah. Nobody wants to. You can't be any good for the kingdom if you allow that to overtake your life. So first and most important, it's going to kill you. But secondly, even if you think, oh, I'm just waiting for Jesus to come get me, well, guess what? You better examine yourself, because it says in the book of Revelation 7 times, examine yourself so that you are counted worthy at the end, so that you will not lose your crown, so that it can't be stolen from you. We need to understand that this is a walk we have to finish. It's a race we have to finish. We walk around like we got our ticket and we don't have to do anything else. And I'm not making fun of God's grace and His mercy. His grace and mercy showed up at the cross. But Judgment Day is going to be a little different story if you think you're going to get there and just say, well, I didn't have to do anything. Pastor Bubba told me we didn't do nothing. We just don't accept the free grace of God.
Amen.
Boy, if Bubba ever listens to this next story, he'll think I'm picking on him, right? It's our landlord. His name is Bubba. And he's not a pastor, so... The reality is these people don't feel like they have a place on this planet. They don't feel like they belong. And I'm not saying that the reasons it started out like this are not legitimate. If you were raised in a home that was particularly harsh, I can see how that would damage you. We see it all the time. As I look at things differently now than I did even 4 years ago, I can see all the damage in my own family, in my brothers and sisters, in my parents, my grandparents. I can see what they went through and how it happened. But there's still no excuse. Because they were adults. My brothers and sisters are all 50 to 72 years old. There's no excuse. We have to start understanding God loves us so much and He desires so much more for us. But there is a responsibility on your part. And that's the if. That's the Deuteronomy if. If you will obey. If you will keep all my commandments, if you will examine yourself. Therefore, when you disagree with what the Word of God says, when you come to the place where you can stop denying that God says throughout His Scriptures that He thinks highly of you, He loves you, very few of you in this room would argue with that, that it's written in the Scriptures. But when you continue to walk in this poor me, woe is me, I'm just a worthless piece of garbage attitude, do you realize that you're making out the God of the universe to be a liar? Or at the very least, you're telling Him, gee, Father, I love you, but you're a really lousy judge of character. It's like a slap in His face. And I'm not trying to make you feel horrible about that. I'm trying to get you to think. You've got to start lining up the way you feel about yourself with the way He sees you. And He loves you just the way you are. Now there's some things in your life He wants you to change. And we do that as we grow and learn Torah, as we grow and learn what the Father has for us and how to live our lives. John 3:16, we all know it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life. Now, we memorized some verses in the Bible so much that we forget what they really mean. Or are we just, it glosses over us because we're so used to seeing the freak with the rainbow hair holding up the sign. You know, we lose track of what the verse really means. If that went over your head, that's sporting events, you know. Remember that guy from the 70s and 80s? He had a rainbow fro, went around to all the, yeah, see, all the young people are going like, no, Tom, we don't remember the 70s. You're old, Tom. But we don't remember what that really means. That is how much he loved you and I. And guess what? He did that even when you were a sinner. He loved you so much he sent his son for you. Because we were all sinners at one time, right? He sent his son to die for sinners. But that shows you the value he has in you. And if you disagree with him, you're barking up the wrong tree. So, if you want to avoid saying God made a mistake, I suggest you start getting in line with what the Word of God has to say about you. When you have a poor self-image and you don't love yourself, you're not only in direct opposition to God, but you've actually automatically opened the door for the devil. Anytime you're walking contrary to God, you're opening the door. It may only be a crack, but that's all he needs. When people attack themselves spiritually, you know, with their words, with their thoughts, especially their thought life, what's going to result is a physical reaction inside your body, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. That's why this teaching is so, for me, has been so enjoyable to see how Scripture lines up with medical science. Now, granted, medical science from the eyes of believers. Because the non-believing doctors won't agree with some of that stuff because they can't figure out how to make money on teaching Melvin how to think a little bit better or telling Mark that you need to have a more positive attitude, whatever the Scriptures tell you. There's no money in that unless they're psychiatrists. And what do they want you to do? Next 20 weeks or so will be good. Come every week, you know. We got 2/3 of our yacht paid for and, you know, you'll still be a train wreck. That's the way it works. Or they'll give you a drug and the drug will have a euphoric effect over top of you. It doesn't touch the problem. It just kind of masks the symptoms a little bit. That's the way what they want to keep you. Autoimmune diseases, according to Dr. Stridham, I believe Henry Wright as well, talk about, or they really, it's an example of how, and some of this I'm going to read to you because I've been honest with you so far, right? I'm not a medical student, so I'm just going to have to read this. Your immune system is the army of cells in your body that were created to protect you from harmful things like bacteria, viruses, parasites, fungus, toxins, cancer cells. So when the cells of your immune system see these harmful things inside your body, they immediately go to work doing what they were created by the Creator to do, right? So, okay, this is basic stuff. I mean, even though it's fresh in my mind now because I've been reading this, this is stuff we learned a long time ago. In school, they taught us a tiny little bit about the immune system, and this is what we know. Our body was designed to fight off this stuff. But when you attack yourself spiritually, when you criticize yourself, when you have self-condemnation, what happens in your own body? The immune system is redirecting itself to attack its own body issues, its own body parts, your tissue, because it doesn't understand. You know, you're thinking this through from a point of view of what Satan's trying to tell you. The Word of God says, no, you need to keep positive. You need to focus on things that are good, lovely, pure, and wholesome. And you're doing the opposite. So your body gets all out of whack. Your immune system doesn't know how to react properly. And these cancer cells, these viruses, these bacteria are then free to grow because your immune system is not acting properly. When you're attacking yourself spiritually in your thoughts, the biogenetic character of the cells of the immune system is changed so they take on the assignment of the devil. Now you can look at it however you want. The devil wants to kill you, he wants to steal from you, he wants to destroy you. So if God opens the door because you're not obedient, you could say that your body's just doing what it's created to do naturally, or you could say the devil comes in and does what he does. I'm not going to get into wordplay with you. All I know is when you're not obedient, this is what happens. And sometimes it takes a little longer for some people. Sometimes they have to wallow in their own misery. Cornelia asked me, why is her mother-in-law so healthy at age 77? I said, because God wants her to be healthy, so she has to live in her misery much longer. That's part of her punishment. Now, I don't say that joyfully. I wish she would just see the truth and come out of it. But I personally believe that her torment is living and being healthy, because she in her mind would rather be gone where her husband is. But God's prolonging her life because she's a miserable, mean-spirited, divisive, backbiting woman. She does all the things that this teaching talks about. Another example is hypothyroidism, where the thyroid is attacked and destroyed by the immune system. Now, that's not normal, but that's what happens when you have low self-esteem, stress in your life, and you start thinking the way the enemy wants you to think. If your immune system cannot produce enough thyroid hormones, it breaks down and your body starts to deteriorate. Just ask my wife. She went through this for, 25 years? Until she was healed from it. So it can happen. And it will happen if you're faithful. Now, it may not happen the second you believe it. You know, I think that all these doctors have recorded hundreds of cases of people who were healed immediately. Some it took a little bit of time. Some it took a little more time. That's God in His infinite wisdom. He may have a lot of junk He needs to get out of you. For somebody else, it might just be the one epiphany that they have to forgive this person and really, truly forgive them, start the restoration process, and boom, they can get healed just like that. The bottom line is, it shouldn't matter how long it takes. You should want it. And if it's in the Word of God, you should desire it. But can you kind of see now, when you start studying how the body works with these autoimmune diseases, can you see now how we were talking last week a little bit about the conundrum we're in with Deuteronomy saying, you know, I will not allow these diseases to come on you if you're obedient, but they will come on you and surely overtake you if you're not obedient. And then later in Deuteronomy, there's a couple other verses that say, I will bring these on you. The bottom line is, if His protection is removed from you, and it's going to happen automatically, it's what the Word of God has been set in motion, and it's going to happen. You just have to trust that. And we're actually going to take that verse apart in Deuteronomy 28, I think 59, a little bit later. Yeshua said that if you hate your brother in your heart, you're guilty of murder. Now that's not an exact paraphrase. But He said if you even hate a brother in your heart, it's the same thing as having committed murder. Hatred is a destructive force. And low self-esteem and hatred for yourself is not much different than hatred for a brother, is it? Be careful, because if you allow that to creep in, either hatred of yourself or hatred of somebody else, you're opening the door for the body to start shutting down, the body to start doing what it's not created to do, and that will lead to your physical death eventually. If you kill yourself in your thought life, you can better be sure it's going to come to your physical life. And I wouldn't want to bet on whether it's going to be sooner or later. I don't want it at all. I'd like to live a good old age and go to rest, you know. Hopefully you won't ask me to climb a mountain like you did to Moses and Aaron. So I can't climb now. Why would I be able to then? God says that you're valuable and that your life is worth His only begotten Son coming and sacrificing Himself for you. You've got to get that into your system. If David Childers said he was going to sacrifice his son for me, of course we wouldn't do that. I wouldn't allow that. I mean, because I'd say you're not hearing from God. But the bottom line is, just the thought, the intent of somebody would be willing to do that is mind-boggling. I don't think any of us can comprehend it. Now, we can read it, we accept it in faith, but I don't think anybody here can honestly say they can comprehend the love of God that is willing to give His only Son for us. But we have to at least start understanding that it happened. We have to acknowledge that even though we can't comprehend the fullness of it, it's pretty amazing. We got to start looking at ourselves through His eyes. What is the best way to kill body tissue? The answer is to cut off the blood supply. Many different diseases do that, include diabetes, atherosclerosis. They damage the blood vessels and the heart. The Bible says in Leviticus 17:11 that life is in the blood. So if you cut off the blood supply or limit the blood supply to your body parts, it's a slow process of death, is it not? The blood contains oxygen, nutrients, all of the things that are vital to keep the cells alive. Cut that off, and your life is being cut off. The heart pumps the blood, and the blood vessels transport the blood to the tissues, organs, muscles, all over your body. From the tip of your toes to the top of your head, it's all done because that blood keeps coming through and bringing nutrients. Every time the heart pumps, more blood is pumped through your body. You cut that off, and you're going to cut off the life. Diabetics often have to have their toes and feet and legs cut off due to gangrene, which is a consequence of an inadequate blood supply. It's a result many times, if not most of the times, of some form and degree of self-hatred, lack of self-esteem. You know, I read this stuff and it's easy just to read it to you, but it breaks my heart because I know people that are personally going through this. And most of the time it stems with the fathers, because it always does. Not 100% of the time, but most of the time it stems with the fathers. And our fathers haven't always given us what we've needed. That's why we did that interceding prayer. I think it was last week we did that. We have got to understand that you may not hear it out loud from your father. Many of you maybe already lost your father. You may be estranged from your father. But how much more that the creator of the heavens and the earth feels that way about you? We've got to be able to get past what we didn't get from our earthly fathers and understand we got far more from our heavenly father. Clinical depression is basically low levels of serotonin. Well, this is the part everyone's going to love, right? Clinical depression. The Christian world has it just as much as the regular world. It's documented over and over again. And many of you in this room might even admit to having some form of a depression. Now, we try to sugarcoat it, make it not sound so bad, but it's something that we shouldn't have as believers. Let's put it that way. If Paul and Peter and these amazing men of God can sing songs while they've just been beaten 40 stripes, where you and I will never experience that kind of pain, and then they're sitting in a prison. Now, they didn't have TV and Wi-Fi. They're sitting in a dungeon with rats, maybe hard stone floors, cold. If they can rejoice in the Lord in that and sing songs, how dare we think we have the right to be depressed because, you know, our $100,000 a year job, we lost it and we're only making 60 now. Anybody in here want to give somebody like that pity? I don't. Pick yourself up and move forward. Clinical depression is because of low serotonin. Serotonin is a chemical that is in your brain that makes you feel good about yourself. Therefore, if the serotonin levels are low, hence you don't feel good about yourself. You feel depressed. And what do you want when you feel depressed? Go ahead, yell it out if you know it. Comfort.
Chocolate.
You want comfort. Chocolate. You know. Phew, no one said alcohol. But we go for these things we know are not good for us. And we're going to get into a little bit of those here today. And my point today is not to point the finger at anybody or any one activity. If it's not good for you, it's not good for you. You're a big boy. You're a big girl. Figure it out. Work with a father on it. The mouth was designed by God as the contact place for love and security. Hence, new babies, what do? They breastfeed. That's where they get their nourishment. It's where they get their comfort. And I'm not going to go into this in great detail, but it's the way it was designed. For 5,900 years, every single baby was breastfed when they were born. It's only modern days and times that we've changed things up, and it's because of our selfishness. It's our time. We don't want to do that. Are you kidding me? How am I going to live my life? How did they live for the last 5,900 years? You tell me. Later, when a child is feeling insecure as he gets a little bit older and he's weaned, they suck their thumbs. Adults bring alcohol, food, drugs, cigarettes, whatever it is, and that's the entry point of where they get their comfort. The problem is, dopamine is released when these different alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, when it goes into your body, and it gives you that sensation of fulfillment, of pleasure, being fulfilled, content. But guess what? None of them last very long, do they? It doesn't last very long, and you all of a sudden you start coming down, you start feeling a little bit like you need some comfort again, and the cycle just goes on and on and on and on. The cycle never is going to change until somebody takes a stand and breaks it. An alcoholic has to come to his own senses. You know, and it might be through an intervention, but he's never going to be successful unless he makes a decision, I'm going to stop. An overeater, cigarette smokers, talk to people who've quit that. They had to come to the place in their own mind they were going to make the change. And I can promise you one thing. Well, let me just tell you this. I believe with all my heart, what you can't do on your own, God will step in and help you. But what you can do on your own, he may force you to walk through that. Because it all comes back to Deuteronomy 8:2, isn't it? Is it in your heart? Is it in your heart to keep my commandments? You don't think if he wants to spend eternity with you, he wants to know here and now that it's in your heart? Not to be perfect, but to keep his commandments. The way you think about yourself and your self-esteem all ties into all of this. And some of those things we just mentioned won't have a big effect in your life unless you abuse it, and then it could. And when you start talking about anything that's not healthy for you, don't point to your grandfather who lived to be 88 years old, okay? Because it was a different world back then. We live in a different place where our GMO foods are everywhere. You can try all you want. We're going to be talking about healthy foods, in 2 weeks. And it's important, but there's going to be times where you can't know. That's when you have to trust in the Father. Either that or you just crawl into a cave somewhere and you don't eat unless you kill your own, you know, wildlife. But that's not going to happen, at least not now. You've got to have some trust in the Father, but you've got to use common sense at the same time. When we look through this teaching, the one thing that really has hit me personally is that our Creator is so brilliant that he doesn't have to sit up there. Remember we talked about he's not sitting on the edge of his seat just waiting until you mess up, and he's just got this, you know, ball of cancer waiting to throw at you because, Richie, you messed up, and I can't believe you were disobedient. He's not doing that. And the other thing that we have to learn, too, and Henry Wright said something that I didn't agree with 8 weeks ago because I couldn't put my finger on it in Strong's Concordance. And he said, if you obey, the blessings come immediately. But he said, if you disobey, they don't come immediately, but they will eventually come to pass. And the reason is the Hebrew in Strong's Concordance isn't always right. But now, in light of everything that I'm learning and everything that I'm seeing, because what did I tell you guys a million times? I do these studies, I learn more than any of you, right? So it's my benefit too. And when I'm studying this out, I'm seeing that the Creator has built our bodies and created us in a way where we're just inviting these things to come on ourselves when we're disobedient. Continued disobedience opens the door for these to fester and get into your system. You don't disobey and then immediately you're struck with a plague and die out there. It doesn't happen like that. If you get cancer, it takes time and it eventually kills you if you're not treated and you don't get healing. If you get diabetes, there's ways we have of prolonging it right now. But if we didn't have those ways, you would eventually die. People have shared with me, well, what happens if we can't get our medications when the tribulation comes? I go, you better start learning to trust in God now.
Amen.
Right? But he's created this whole system so that if you're obedient, we don't have to worry about it. Does that make sense? And it's not like this is the first time I realize he's a genius. It's just that it just reaffirms it over and over again. I love how sometimes it's so simple. We make it so complex. This is why it's vital that you learn who you are in Messiah. We're going to go back to this over and over again. You will never get healing. You will never understand your true value unless you start looking at it from the way Messiah saw you to come and die for you, and the way the Father saw you in order to send his son. This brings us to part three, which is, or the third part of the separation, which is separation from others. Because it usually happens in this order. It happens where you have separation from God, then you start having separation from yourself, not feeling good about yourself, and then it eventually is going to affect other people, isn't it? That's what we're going to talk about, because severed relationships, long-term anger, hatred for people, rage, anger, bitterness, all of this stuff, when it's not dealt with, when it's not truly forgiven, when there's no restoration, it's going to affect the inside of your body, and it's not going to be in a positive way. And most of us know somebody who's gone through this before. And to borrow Dr. Phil's word, how does it work in for them? Most of the time when people allow this to harbor inside them, it's a train wreck. They're not healthy. They're certainly not happy. If it's not working, we need to change. What's the definition of insanity? Yeah. Keep doing the same thing over and over again, hoping you're going to get different results. It's not really the definition of insanity. It's the definition of stupidity. Okay? Last thing I want to be called is stupid. A toxic stronghold or a thorn tree of bitterness in your brain, we talked about that in week two, increases the level of stress hormones in your blood, such as cortisol. One effect of excessive levels of cortisol is the walls of the body cells become rigid. As a result, the body cells are not able to filter out toxic waste products through metabolism. This is all scientific stuff that all the doctors know. But where does it start? It starts up here. Now, I'm going to submit to you, most of them know that. They just don't, like we've talked about, they can't make money from it. But there's some of them that don't know. Because guess what? You were brought up with the generational curses handed to you, right? I was. Do you think the doctors are any different? They're brought up. What do? It's like the pastors. Most pastors are taught by their seminary. The seminary is by their denomination. Well, the doctors are taught by the older doctors who are the teachers and the professors in their schools. So it gets perpetuated down. Why do you think most Baptists seem to think alike? It's because they're trained in the Baptist theology. Methodists think a little different. Not a criticism of them. They just go to their seminaries and they're taught by other Methodist teachers. If we want to break away from the habits that we've been handed down, we've got to break away from the negative sources. That's why we don't go to seminary here, right? Cemetery. All this leads to toxins that build up inside your body, and guess what? You get sick. You get diseases. Different build up of different toxins creates different diseases. Anti-oncogenes are something that protect a cell from becoming cancerous when the DNA is damaged. For example, just through wear and tear on your body, sometimes DNA and cells are damaged. As we get older, things happen to us that are natural. But the anti-oncogenes, when they break down through all the stress that you put on yourself, they're no longer able to help you because they are what prevent that from happening. Those are the little small things that we never see that allow you to live to be 90 years old. And maybe you're a little bit older, a little less strength in your bones, but you're able to still live out your life without having to go through these diseases. There's a tremendous amount of truth to the old saying that bitterness eats you like a cancer. Because cancers today have been attributed to bitterness in a very high percentage of all cases. And that can involve long-term, lingering, festering bitterness. It can be against others. It can be against yourself. It could even be like a bitterness against God. Now, one of my brothers would tell you that he is an atheist / wants nothing to do with God. And that's because he carries a bitterness against God. Now, he made some very bad decisions, as I did, and hopefully none of you are saints from birth. We all made bad decisions, but instead of realizing at 23 years old that it was because I was the idiot and I needed the Father, I needed Jesus in my life at that time, he went the other direction. Instead, he's chosen to blame God for all of his choices. I don't want to air a bunch of dirty laundry, but he got a girl pregnant at 15 years old and got an abortion. told me 25 years later, not a single day had gone by that he didn't regret it and it didn't haunt him. Then he went off and got together with another girl, moved to Colorado, came home and found her with another guy. More bitterness. Then he married another woman who was being deported back to Russia, and he shotgun married her, kept her in the country. As soon as the 7 years were up, gone. Now, if I had to live with my brother, I probably would have left too. Okay. But the bottom line, he's got reasons, but the problem is they are not because of God. It's because of his own stupid decisions. The only reason I'm even bringing it up as an example is because it's like a 1 in 500 trillion shot he would ever even listen to this. Okay? So, when you have breakdown in relationships, it causes problems. And we allow it to fester inside ourselves and we end up getting angry at somebody. Most of the time, I would suggest to you is you're angry at more than one. He's angry at himself and he's angry at God. But it's so much easier when you can blame somebody else, isn't it? That's where he's at today. When you have a female who's in a lot of strife, it tends to target the breast area. And that's why so many women have breast cancer or get breast cancer because of a lot of strife in their life. And it is amazing through the Dr. Stridham and Henry Wright's studies how much of it relates to women having relationship issues with other women in their life. And I'm not talking about the unhealthy ones, the unbiblical. Your mother, your sister, your mother-in-law, those type of relationships. When there's problems there, it's amazing how high the percentage of women who get breast cancer. It ties together. That breakdown in the relationship causes things to go on in your mind that manifest in your body somehow, some way. You're projecting all this fear of rejection and disappointment into everybody you come in contact with, whether you realize it or not. Most of the time, I'm going to submit to you, we don't realize it. Because we're so comfortable with it, we've been doing it so long, it's second nature. I don't think anybody walks out of the parking lot and goes, I'm just going to make everybody miserable today. I'm just going to see how effective, I'm going to see if I can make April just steaming mad today. You know? Melvin's such a nice guy. I got to get under his craw. I'm going to do something to make him snap him. Nobody does that. But there are people who will say things and do things not knowing, right? Proverbs 23:7 says that as a man thinks in his heart, so does he become. There are links between all different kinds of diseases and different things that go on in our thought life and in our mind and how we walk out our life. And the bottom line is, I could go on and on and on with these things. You've got to take captive all of your thoughts. You've got to take captive all of your actions, the way you talk to other people. That's why there is power in life in the tongue. But there's also the power of death if you want to speak that over people. You've got to understand, you've been given this power in your tongue, but it's a double-edged sword. It's up to you how you're going to use it. It's up to you what you speak over people. You know, the hardest thing to do is to speak positive over somebody who's trashed you or done something to offend you. But do you know how healing that can be if someone will receive that? We don't have to be right. Who said we have to be right all the time? Forgive people, put restoration as a top priority, and move on, even if they're wrong. When Yeshua said, forgive them 70 times 7, that's more times than most of us will ever be wronged in a lifetime, truly wrong. We've got to forgive no matter what. But the forgiveness comes when they ask for forgiveness, right? But we got to let go. We can't harbor bitterness or resentment whether they ask for forgiveness or not. But you can't truly forgive someone unless they ask for forgiveness. That's why when we repent, we have to go to the Father and we have to ask the Father for forgiveness. That's the only way he can forgive us. James 3:16 says, for where there is envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, strife can be bickering, arguing, fighting, heated disagreements, anything that involves anger, disappointment. Your immune system is going to be affected by all of these. Your immune system is going to get torn down, and it's going to eventually get destroyed if you let it go long enough. And if you don't have a good immune system, how many people think you're going to live a long, healthy life? Anybody? Nobody raised your hand. They're getting it, honey. We have to resist any evil work, which means we have to resist envying and strife at all costs. Believers are not exempt from this. This is the big misnomer that I was taught for 25 years in the church, is once you're born again, you're exempt from all that. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Well, that's the biggest lie that Satan ever told, other than maybe the lie he doesn't exist. Think about it. All he wants to do is to get you down. And if you have been in this walk for any length of time and you can honestly tell me you have never had Satan tempt you or try to get you down, I want to know about it, because you're a superhuman testimony that we need to hear from. You know? We're not going to read Isaiah 58 because it's a long chapter. I'm going to highly recommend you read it again and again and again until you get it. But we are going to talk about it real quick, because this is a prophecy Isaiah wrote to the believers, to the Israelites. These are people who are supposedly in covenant with God. They're like you and I. We have a covenant with Yeshua as our Messiah. We are Israelites. And he's saying that they were doing the Sabbath. They were going to Sabbath. They were observing the commandment to come out of their homes and go to Sabbath. They were fasting. They were outwardly seeking God, but their hearts were far from him, and it was because of strife, if you go back and read it. And God instructed them, towards the end of this chapter, to return to them, to Teshuvah, to turn around 180 degrees and come back to him and his instructions. Repent. These instructions for them in that day and time fit you and I today. This is our only hope of restoration, is repentance. Fast the way God intended a fast to be, is what he was telling them. And if you're not sure exactly how you should fast, go back and read this chapter. It gives you more details on fasting than any other place in the scriptures. Honor the Sabbath day the way God gave the instruction. Stop making excuses. And if you are going to make excuses, please don't do them out loud and hear it. It drives me nuts. I'm just being honest. God does not like excuses. In fact, I'll go one step further. He hates them. If you know it's in the scriptures, I'm not talking about the ambiguous. If you know it's in the scriptures, stop making excuses. It's what these people were doing. They were showing up every Sabbath, but they weren't doing it with the heart of God. They weren't doing it the way God instructed. Learn what the scriptures say. Stop arguing about the stuff we can't prove. Return to his ways, his Torah, his instructions, and receive your restoration. That's the only way. He's not interested in your superficial praise and prayer and fasting. He wasn't with them. He's not going to be with you. He's got to be from the heart, and you have to desire to do it his way. Your body cannot be healed while it's in a state of toxic stress. So in order to heal yourself, or heal yourself through God, I should say, you're going to have to remove the toxic stress. You can't continue walking in the destructive lifestyle that you've gotten used to and expect God to heal you. And if he were so inclined to heal you, it's just going to come right back on you, because these words in the Bible are his principles. And how many people know he's bound by his principles, his words, his instructions? He can't change. It says it's impossible for God to change. And don't be crying out to Jesus to change, because he can't either. Read both Testaments. It covers it in, I believe, Malachi and in Hebrews. 1 Peter 3:10 says, "For let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from telling lies." Matthew 7:1-3 says, "Do not judge, criticize, and condemn others, so that you may not be judged, criticized, and condemned yourself." Ephesians 4:26 says, "When you're angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath last until the sun goes down." Till the sun goes down. Are you kidding me? We carry things for years, and this is saying you can't even carry it to the end of the day. You know how long we've drug along our luggage on our backs, and how, you know, most of my neck problems, I'm convinced, were not from my carpet laying days. It's from dragging baggage with me my whole life, not knowing I was supposed to toss that in the garbage. Till the sun goes down. And there's a big difference here between righteous anger and the anger that we feel when we've been upset, when we feel we've been wrong. Take a hard look at the things that we get angry about are usually petty and insignificant. Righteous anger is when people violate the Torah and blatantly desecrate God's principles and His laws. And we are not permitted to do the things like Phinehas did. You know, we can't take a spear and go stab somebody because they're celebrating on Sunday. That worked in Israel as a nation. It doesn't work in America, trust me, okay? But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have that righteous anger rise up inside us. Righteous anger is understanding when it's not lining up with the Word of God, it's wrong. But we still have to deal with those people in love. Otherwise, they'll never see the truth. We are finding that people who are filled with jealousy and envy are getting osteoporosis in record numbers. Basically, osteoporosis is a weakening of the bones. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body, but envy and jealousy is like cancer in the bones." God's desire, on the other hand, is found in Psalms 103, verse 5. He says, "He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like eagle." That's what He wants for you. But you have the choice. Do you want to have a peaceful heart that leads to a healthy body, or do you want to have envy and jealousy? Which, I don't know how your warped thinking is. Maybe that's appealing at some point in some level. Personally, I think we just learn to do that out of bad habits. 1 John 4:20. How many people ever remember when you were in the Christian church that, did you ever read 1 John? I didn't even know it existed. I mean, I certainly never heard a sermon taught on it. 1 John is a world of wealth. But you don't ever hear about it. 4:20 says, "If someone says, 'I love God,' but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar." John wasn't politically correct, was he? Today, what do we say? Oh, she was just misinformed and didn't understand the severity of the complexity of the issues revolving the email account. Okay. That's as political as I'm going to get today. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? Now this is John. You don't like it? Take it up with him. John calls people a liar several times. Personally, I think he's spot on. But we don't like these terms. We want the, you know, the Gracie, sloppy, smoothie, you know, give me a milkshake and send me home, you know, feeling good about myself. According to John, when we have hatred, which could also be a form of anger, towards another believer, he's basically saying you really don't love God. That doesn't mean we can't be angry about a situation, but then you've got to man up, understand what the Word of God says, and let it go and restore your relationship. I'm not saying you just completely ignore somebody who disses you and does you wrong. But you got to remember, when there's repentance, there has to be restoration. In summary, almost all disease is a consequence of sin. The Hebrew people all believed this. Why do you think the disciples said, did this guy sin or did his parents? There was not even a thought, there was no option that it was any other way. And Yeshua said, this man is blind because I'm going to show my glory in him. It's one time in history that we know of. Could it happen again? Absolutely. He can do whatever he wants to do. And he doesn't ask me about it. But I wouldn't want to hang my hat on the one time in history he did things when the whole Word of God tells us otherwise. We need to be examining ourselves. Almost all disease is a consequence of sin and separation in one or more of the three areas we just talked about last week and this week, which is separation from God, from yourself, and from others. Therefore, healing has to begin by restoration first with God, Because if you're not restored with your relationship with God, you're not going to be able to be restored to yourself and to other people. That's just not going to happen. You've got to learn to understand what he thinks about you and accept it to move on to restoration with yourself, which is the development of a self-esteem that is healthy and godly. And until you understand what he thinks about you, you can't do that. Your husband may love you. Your wife may love you. All the patting on the back isn't going to change if you've been grown up in a horrifying situation. The only way that's going to change is when you start understanding what God thinks about you. Once those two take place, then it has to move on to restoration with other people. And I don't have a scripture to hang on this. I'm just going to tell you that this is what I believe with my heart. If you're unwilling to restore relationships with other people, then forgiveness never really took place. Believe it or not believe it, I don't care. I believe with all my heart we need to try to restore relationships, at least as far as we're able to do that. And I'm going to tell you why I believe that. And I'm always careful in here to tell you what I can find in the scriptures and what I believe. Why would God allow us to enjoy 100% full restoration at Judgment Day if we've not forgiven others and enjoy that restoration here on earth? Why should we be so entitled to get that free pass at Judgment Day when we've been unwilling to do that here on earth? All that is something for you to think about. You cannot love your brother if you do not love yourself. If you do not like yourself, you will have a hard time loving anyone else. You can pretend to do it, but people are going to see right through it. It's going to be fabricated. You're hiding from your own reality. And it's time we start examining ourselves and looking into how we can get healthy. The healthy esteem has to come from who you are in Messiah. Then ultimately, your healing can come. You're pointed back to getting right with God and developing a more intimate love relationship with Him. And I'm going to add to this that it's critical in order to develop a healthy relationship with God and understanding what He sees about you, it's critical to learn and understand what you're entitled to as children of the Most High God. You can't just go around, name it, claim it. It's such a perverted gospel because of the way it was taught all those years, but we are able to claim what God has already given to us. The problem is, the name it, claim it, you know, whatever you want to call that movement, they claimed all things that they didn't have the right to claim. They have to understand what the Creator has put into His Word and what we're able to claim. And, you know, Deuteronomy 28 is not the only place you have to learn that. You've got to understand from all of His instructions, probably some 30 times it says, if you will obey how many of my instructions? All of them. If you will keep all of my statutes, if you will keep all of my judgments, we have to be willing to be sold out. Yeshua summed it up when somebody asked him, what is the greatest commandment? In Matthew 22, 36 through 40. And it says, teacher, what is the most important commandment in the Torah of Moses? And Yeshua replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire Torah and all the demands of the prophets are placed on these two commandments. Now, your heart in a biblical context is your soul and your spirit. Your soul is, we explained this earlier, it consists of your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's basically a package deal. You've got to be able to wrap everything that's inside you, everything that you believe, everything in your mind and your heart, your soul, your spirit, everything has to love God with all your heart. Then that has to be turned onto your brothers and sisters. And if you go back and read the Hebrew for brothers and sisters, that's your fellow believers, your fellow Israelites. It's our family. We don't have to have the same love for people over there cutting people's heads off that we have for our own brothers and sisters. Now, I think it'd be wise to pray, but trust me, that's why most of the Christian church believes that Jesus was a pacifist. He wasn't a pacifist. When it comes to your own family, trust me, you better learn to take care of your family. And if it requires defending them, defend them. But we're talking about brothers, our brothers, the people we live with, our Israelites. We should treat them with the same respect we treat God, and that's love. This is why Satan and his kingdom work so hard at overturning your relationships. And he focuses on these areas of your life. Satan, we already know what he wants to do with you. And he's hard at work, and he can only come in when you open the door and you give him a crack. Even when James talks about the temptation, that temptation really comes in when you have to give in to that temptation, and then sin is birthed. And then you have to continue in the sin, and then death ensues. That's his goal. James warned us, and I'm going to read this warning to you, and I'm going to ask that you listen very carefully to this. I apologize, I don't remember which translation I copied this out of, but I like the way this is written. And remember, when you are, and just if you want to read along, it's chapter 1, verses 13 through 22. And we're going to close with this. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shadow of shifting. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Let's close in prayer. Father, we come before you and we're so humble that you would put all these instructions that would teach us and show us clearly how we can live a life of fullness for you. Father, I pray that you would break down every stronghold that has held us captive, that has kept us from understanding your truth, that has kept us from wanting to follow through on the words that you've showed us so far in this teaching. Give us a heart to want to keep your commandments. And Father, most of all, give us a heart to be willing to examine ourselves. I feel like for some reason that is the stronghold that has kept so many people from receiving your healing and receiving your restoration. That desire to want it to be someone else's fault, somebody else's responsibility. Father, strip us from that. Humble us and make us willing to see your word for what it is. Make us willing to examine ourselves daily to keep our lives pure and holy before you. Give us a heart to keep your commandments that you spoke about in Deuteronomy 8. Give us a heart to be obedient to you, which I would submit is the proof that we truly do love you. Give us a heart to want to honor you and to share the love you've given to us with other people. We can only do that if we get a hold of your truth, we put it to work in our life, and we receive your restoration, Father. So I pray through the remaining 3 additional weeks of this teaching, you would get the people prepared. Everybody has different situations, different issues that have bothered them, different things that have caused them heartache and pain. Father, I pray you would meet each person exactly where they're at. And I pray those that are unable to make the changes on their own, I pray that you will have mercy and that you will change them for themselves. I'll leave you with the Aaronic benediction. Yivarecha ka Yehovah v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Yehovah panav alecha v'yihunecha. Yisa Yehovah panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you his shalom, his peace. Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen.